Hey, it's Scott, and guess what? You're about to hear an ad. And that's both good and bad. It's good because ads are what make it possible for me to keep bringing you these episodes. And it's bad because, well, maybe you don't like listening to ads, and I get that. And the good news is, you don't have to. When you sign up to support the show, you get every single episode without any ads. Plus, you get all the bonus episodes. Yeah, did you know there are actually bonus episodes? And you can try it all for free just to see what it's like. If you're on an iPhone, just go to the What Was That Like podcast and at the top, click on Try Free and you're in. On Android, just go to whatwasthatlike.com/plus and try it out completely free. Once you've had the ad-free experience, you'll see why hundreds of other listeners are already doing it. But for now, here's another ad and then on with today's episode.
Imagine unlocking a version of yourself that's unstoppable, where mental barriers no longer hold you back. Listen to Mentally Stronger with me, Amy Morin, therapist and international best-selling author, here to guide you on a journey to reaching your greatest potential. Every Monday, I bring you into conversations with some of the most fascinating minds, experts, authors, entrepreneurs, athletes, and musicians. They don't just share stories. They reveal the mental strategies that propelled them to the top. But here's the real magic. At the end of each episode, I break down their wisdom into practical therapist-approved advice. In my solo episodes, I dive deep into the techniques that build mental strength. It's like having your own personal therapy session as you discover how to turn these insights into steps you can take right now. This podcast isn't just for those facing mental health challenges. It's for anyone who wants to push their limits, achieve peak performance, and truly thrive. Are you ready to unlock your full potential? Then it's time to become mentally stronger. Subscribe to Mentally Stronger with therapist Amy Morin, available wherever you love to listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the I Can't Sleep podcast with Benjamin Boster. If you're tired of sleepless nights, you'll love the I Can't Sleep podcast. I help quiet your mind by reading random articles from across the web to bore you to sleep with my soothing voice. Each episode provides enough interesting content to hold your attention, and then your mind lets you drift off. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. That's I Can't Sleep with Benjamin Boster.
What Was That Like? Contains adult language and content and is not intended for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to What Was That Like? I'm your host, Scott Johnson. This is the show where we talk to regular people just like you or just like me, who have found themselves in an extremely unusual situation. We'll hear their stories and get inside their head because we all want to know, what was that like? More information about each episode at whatwasthatlike.com. Here we go. Today's episode is a little different. I'd like to know what you think about it. My guest today is Chloe. Chloe is a university student in New York, and in the last couple of months, she's gone through a pretty radical change. 2 months ago, Chloe was in a desperate state. She was unemployed, having lost her job with no notice. After losing her job, she'd gone through her savings. She was 48 hours away from having her electricity disconnected. She was a week away from losing her apartment. And she had 33 cents in her bank account. She was in a panic. Fast forward 30 days, her rent is now paid up, her electric bill is current, and she's working from home 70 hours a week. And here's the funny part. She didn't find a job. She created one. How she did that is what we're going to talk about today. You can check out her website at advicebychloe.com. From my point of view, I'm an entrepreneur myself, and I've been running my computer business for over 20 years. If you're not aware of it, you can see my website at computertutorflorida.com. So I'm always pretty fascinated with a business success story. But like I said, this is not really the type of story I usually do on this podcast. That's why I'd like to hear what you think of it. You can email me at scott@whatwasthatlike.com. And if you'd like to join the others who support this show for as little as a dollar a month, you can do that at whatwasthatlike.com/support. And now, here's Chloe. Have you always been kind of good at identifying someone's problem and being able to figure it out for them?
I often have people tell me that I'm good at it, but I think it's more that because I am an outside observer, I'm able to look at it from an unbiased perspective. So I'm able to identify the components of the problem and figure out the root issue, and then we can work on solving it in a solution-focused way.
So yeah, that kind of makes sense. You're kind of an outside observer, and you're not so close to the problem like the person that's actually involved is.
Right.
Before we talk about this amazing business that you have started, an important part of that is what happened before that. And so can you give us kind of a profile of who is Chloe? What type of person you are, and how it led up to what you have created here?
Oh gosh, it happened really, really quickly.
Yeah, this was from the time we record this, we're talking like it started like 2 months ago, right?
Yeah, it was 2 months ago that I posted for the first time. Yeah, I just paid my first month of payment on my website and on my domain just a few days ago. So I've only had a website for a month. It's definitely been a crazy, crazy experience.
So it's been a crazy ride, and we're still in the baby stages, sort of. But tell us about your personality. Who are you?
I am a grad student. I love education. I love to learn. I am very nerdy. I play a lot of video games. I play a lot of Dungeons and Dragons. Most of my friends are guys. And
it sounds like you're not a typical girl. You're kind of a nerdy person.
Yes, definitely. I mean, I like girly things. I like to dress up. I like fashion. I like, you know, all those typical things. But I grew up with four brothers. So I spent my childhood like hiding underneath their bed and playing their video games whenever they left. So I think that because it was something I wasn't really allowed to do, because my brothers never really let me play video games. As soon as I moved away for college, one of the very first things I did is I bought a PlayStation, and I loved it. I really, really loved it. So most of my friends are guys who are engineers, or they work in software, and we play D&D together. And that's really where I started to realize that there's a disconnect between who they really are and how they represent themselves whenever they're trying to date. So they're guys who are hilarious and kind and considerate and physically attractive and successful and really a good catch, but they really, really struggled with online dating. And it wasn't until I first saw one of their profiles that I was like, what? What are you doing? This is terrible. And realizing that they just don't know how to take good photos. They don't know good angles. They would consistently make themselves look several inches shorter and 20 pounds heavier. And the bios on their dating profiles were just atrociously bad because they didn't know how to appeal to women. And so I started helping them just as a friend, and they got really good results. So it became a kind of joke amongst us that every time they got a date because of me, they would give me a bag of Cape Cod chips.
Because you really like Cape Cod chips.
I really, really like Cape Cod chips so much. They're the best chips in the world. And then I just always had a stockpile. So I knew that I was good at it. It was never really something that I considered as a career opportunity.
So back then, when you were just helping your friends, you didn't really look at this as saying, maybe I can turn this into income someday.
No. No, never, never, ever. It was just a fun thing that I loved doing. I love human behavior. I love figuring out like how it's like a puzzle, figuring out how to represent them online in a way that's still like accurate to who they are, but we're showing off their best features. And then figuring out what women are looking for and how, what our approach should be. And then learning about the online dating platforms, because online dating is not the same as dating in person. It's an entirely different thing.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's got to be a skill in itself, just figuring out the different platforms. So that was a skill that you recognized that you had. And then take us to present day. Well, not present day, but say present day 2 months ago. What was your situation like and how did it change?
I had been a nanny for a few years to the same family while I was in university. And the father had to move to Australia for a few months for work. And because it was summer, the mother decided to take the children and go with him. So I had no notice. I went from having a full-time job to having no job in 12 hours. I was given less than 24 hours notice that this was happening. I had a month of savings, which initially like made me feel pretty okay. And then I realized very quickly that a month of savings is not enough to take care of you while you are trying to find a job and then getting a job and then waiting on your first paycheck. And I very, very quickly reached a point where I had no money. I couldn't pay my rent. I was 48 hours away from losing electricity. I had no groceries. I was using a food pantry to buy like very basic items because I had nothing and I was in a complete state of panic. I always had the option of leaving New York and going back home, but my family doesn't have a lot of money, so I knew that they couldn't help me. I didn't even ask.
And that would have been a complete disruption.
Yeah, I would lose my scholarship.
Yeah, that's a whole life change then, right? If you drop out of school.
Yeah, I would be dropping out of school. I would be losing my education. I would be losing everything that I've worked so hard for so long. And it just wasn't an option to me. I would rather be homeless and in school than going back home. It just, giving up was not an option. So in a state of just desperation, I was Googling how to make money online. So I was answering surveys for like 10 cents a pop. And I was, I tried our websites where you can like type things for people. But it pays, I mean, just 25 cents. And then I found Reddit. I had used Reddit in the past, but I found that Reddit has a few subreddits for people who were looking to make money quickly and are willing to work for very little pay. So there's this subreddit called Slave Labor. And the purpose of slave labor is for people who are broke or willing to work for very little to offer their services available at low prices, or people who are looking for work to offer low prices.
Just to explain to people a little bit in more detail, if you've never used Reddit, it's a huge social media site, millions and millions of users, and it's made up of many thousands of individual discussion groups, or each of those is called a subreddit, and each one has its own topic or theme, and the one you're talking about is called slave labor, and in that group. I looked at it. I hadn't looked at it before I found out about your story, but it looks like every post is either a task, which somebody has a job they want somebody to do, or it's an offer. Somebody saying, hey, I can do this for you or that for you.
Right.
Kind of like the website Fiverr, but with this subreddit slave labor, you are able to post something like what you did saying, hey, I can do this for you. And that's what you did, right? You created your own post. But what was your mindset like just during that time? I mean, you must have just felt like desperation.
I was in a complete state of panic. I had 33 cents in my bank account. I had already asked for an extension for my light bill. So I was 48 hours from losing the extension. Once my power was going to go off, I knew I was going to lose my apartment. I was completely panicked. I was selling my belongings. I was it's hard to think clearly when you're in that state of mind, because your brain is just in survival mode and it's going off in 3,000 different directions. Mm-hmm. And
this was in the summertime, right? Were you still taking, mm-hmm. did you still have some classes?
No, I wasn't taking classes. So I was able to work full time for anyone who would take me. The problem is I was in New York City and there's a lot of competition, and most of what was available very quickly was labor. And I am a petite female and no one was going to hire me to lift heavy boxes.
You don't seem like the construction type of person. Yeah.
I would have done it if they would have paid me to, but no one was interested. I like tutored occasionally, like anything that anybody would let me do, I would do. But it's very, very competitive.
Listen up, true crime fans.
There's a big murder trial underway.
Dateline is launching a new podcast with Andrea Canning.
Welcome to Dateline True Crime Weekly.
We'll cover breaking crime news around the country with the best reporters on the case, NBC News analysts and Dateline producers on the ground.
Over. Break it down for us.
You'll just get behind-the-scenes scoops from crime scenes to courtrooms.
So tell us what he said.
Listen to Dateline True Crime Weekly now and catch new episodes every Thursday.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
And so I posted on, or I saw slave labor, and I was trying to figure out what I could offer. So I was looking at like the population and slave labor, or really Reddit in general, is primarily men, ages 18 to 35. So I was like, okay, so this is my demographic. What can I offer to them that people will buy? And it made me think of my friends of, okay, so these are mostly guys. Maybe they could use some dating advice. So I offered $5 an hour giving dating advice to guys. But I worked really hard on my presentation, making sure that I was like really expressing my personality and that I was making it fun so that they wouldn't think I was this overlord kind of judging them, or someone who was just going to tell them to be confident, that I was someone who could like actually give them helpful advice.
Right. It has to be practical. Yeah.
Right. And since it was just $5, I thought that that lots of people would take a shot on it. Whereas if I, tried to charge more, then people would be hesitant.
Yeah. Cause you're an unknown factor at that point.
Right.
Can you read your original post that you made?
Sure. I will make your dating profile diggity dapper. $5. Do you have a dating profile that doesn't get the results you had hoped it would? Do you post on R4R with little to no response? Maybe it's bad luck. Maybe it's the uneven playing field. But maybe you also kind of suck at this. I'm a human of the female variety, and I have noticed that some of my awesome guy friends really struggled with online dating because they didn't know what the heck they were doing. They posted photos that weren't flattering. Their profiles were either long and winding, confusing, boring, or way too short. I have helped several friends set up their dating profiles, helped them rewrite their R4Rs, and edited their Tinder profiles. I've gotten pretty solid results, and it was a lot of fun. I'm also pretty familiar with what most girls are looking for in a profile and the pitfalls to avoid. I can help you take photos that work for you, rewrite and edit your profile, give advice, or even walk you through your communication with the lady you're into.
And what were you charging, or what was your offered price to do this?
It was $5.
So $5 gets them, what did it actually get for $5?
So we would do an hour phone call or Discord call or Skype call. Honestly, it was generally a lot longer than an hour. So I would charge them for an hour, but then they would, text me afterwards like, hey, like, can you approve these new photos? Or hey, can you do this or that? And I didn't want to, I wanted to be nice, so I would do it. So I was working for like an hour and a half, 2 hours for $5 per client.
Right. And of course, you didn't anticipate what would happen because you had no idea what kind of response you were going to get, right?
Oh my gosh. I had 200. I mean, just dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of responses. I was very quickly overwhelmed. I was able to buy groceries, like, the next day. I was able to pay my rent a few days later. I was working like 16 hours days, but I was like able to get myself out of this like horrible situation that I was in. And then I reposted asking for $8. I think 2 weeks later or 1 week later. And that got even more responses. I had even more DMs. And at that point, I had previous clients who were writing really good reviews and posting them on my previous posts. So I had like this backup that like, hey, like people are actually like finding the service to be helpful. So that had even more people interested. And so then I reposted again for $10. And then I got even more clients. And at the $10 mark, I was so overwhelmed by the number of messages that I was getting that I just wasn't capable of responding to them anymore. Like I couldn't keep up and I couldn't keep my schedule organized because it was just too much. So I looked into getting a website just because it would have like this automated scheduler that would allow people to schedule themselves in, because I realized I was spending hours and hours a day, like 2 hours a day, just trying to schedule with clients. So I went ahead and made the leap to get a website. And then I got this automated scheduler, and then I would just send clients there. And then I think the latest post I made was for $10. After that, I had a friend suggest that I do an AMA, which is an Ask Me Anything on Reddit. It's where you make a post and tell people your story and then invite them to ask you anything. I didn't really think anything would come of it. So I posted my story that, you know, hey, I went from being on the brink of losing my electricity in my apartment to becoming a small business owner in a month. Ask me anything. And it blew up. It just completely blew up. I was expecting a couple of questions, and I think it had like 19,000 upvotes or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah, I mean, I've seen some that got more, but yeah, you have. It's like whatever you post, you get way more response than what you expect.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So your situation went from night to day. Mm-hmm. Very, very quickly.
Very, very quickly.
From that point, did you kind of branch out and start offering other services, or did you just continue to increase your hourly rate?
I increased my hourly rate, and then I expanded on my services. So a big problem that, or not a big problem, but something that was happening was after our session, guys would want occasional help through text. Like they would want me to approve photos, or they would send me a screenshot of a dating profile and say, I'm not sure what to say to her. And I didn't want to tell them no, but I also couldn't keep doing it for free, especially since now I had hundreds and hundreds of clients instead of 20. So I started offering additional options. So I started this thing called the Pocket Chloe, which is basically where I'm in their pocket for a week. So available from the hours of 9 a.m. until 11:59 p.m. EST, where they could text me at any time for any reason, and I would help them. So if they were talking to a girl and were stuck and they had no idea what to say, then they could show me a screenshot of the conversation, and I would help them. If they were preparing for a date and were in a panic, then I would help them. If they, you know, felt lost or stuck in any way, then they had me as their backup to kind of be there to support them or give them advice or help them get through it, approve their new photos, because a lot of what I did was helping guys take better photos for their dating profiles. So I started to offer that for a week-long service, and then I broadened out the services that I offered. So now I offer a profile overhaul, which is an hour-long calls focused specifically on fixing up your profile. So I'll go over your photos. I'll tell you what's working and what isn't. I'll give you really specific instructions for new photos to take. And then we'll rewrite your whole bio. I'll explain why your bio wasn't working, like why this new one should do better, kind of explain the process. So afterwards, you can kind of continue on yourself. Then I also offer something called Ladies Galore, which is where we focus on matches. So once your profile is done, you're going to start getting matches. And that's really when online dating gets tough, because there is a lot of competition. So she's talking to 15, 20 other guys minimum. And so getting her to respond to you can be really difficult. So I teach them how to write a compelling message, how to figure out what she's interested in, and then talk to her about it. When you can ask her out on a date, how to ask her out quickly but not too quickly, what to do or what not to do on a first date. And then I offer something called Twitter Pated, which is a Bambi reference about girls that you meet in person that you're into. So if there's a girl that you really like, but you don't know how to approach her, you don't know how to ask her out, or, you know, you're trying to get the courage to approach a girl in a bar or in a coffee shop, or if you are a college student and you're really into a girl that you have a class with, just teaching them how they can approach girls, how they can ask them out in a pretty low risk way, how to develop chemistry with them. And then I offer a package called the whole shebang, which is just 2-in-1. So instead of like buying 2 separate packages, you can have them in one call. So it's a 2-hour call, and then they have a $5 discount. So I've broadened them up a bit, but it is like essentially the same thing. I'm still focusing on dating advice.
This is part of what amazes me about how, I mean, you have no past business experience. I don't know if you've ever written ad copy or done any marketing work previously, but I mean, to come up with these things like, you know, where they can text you for a week, and you can help them, and you name it Pocket Chloe. It's just so clever. I think part of your success is that you're just doing those kind of things, creating new products, that kind of thing by instinct. And you have really good instinct about naming things and what, you know, what is needed. It's just, I love it. It's great.
Thank you.
You've got and plus the, you know, add to that, you're kind of an entrepreneur by nature as well. And this is perfect because you can fit it around your schedule. And I know just for you and I to be able to connect to do this conversation, it took us a while, a few weeks anyway, just to figure out, because you were just so booked up so far in advance, right, to, you know, figure out when we can have this conversation. It's pretty amazing. Are you busier now than you want to be?
Now it's a little bit more under control. I finally reached a point where I felt safe enough to give myself days off. I really wanted to have my savings back. I wanted to have 3 months of savings. I wanted to know that if anything went wrong, I would be okay. And I quickly realized before this started that 1 month of savings is not enough. So I wanted at least 3 months of food, rent, electricity, internet, like everything that I would need for 3 months. So I worked 70 hours a week for a month. And then I gave myself 2 days a week off. And I'm just now getting to a point next week where it's totally blocked off and I don't have any appointments on those days. So I blocked those days off a while ago, but I was already so booked up that clients had already scheduled appointments on my days off. So obviously I'm not going to cancel those appointments. So it's a lot better now. I'm working like 50 client hours a week, plus like one extra hour a day to be able to do all the paperwork and research. I'm still learning how to run a business. I'm having business meetings about LLCs and sole proprietorship and taxes and all of those things. And now I'm researching how to advertise, and I'm going to be advertising on Imgur and on Facebook and figuring out like how to do that in an economical way. And I'm definitely learning as I'm going. I've never taken a business class in my life. All my classes are psychology related or anthropology related. They're all about human behavior and culture. So I'm staying really busy, but I no longer feel completely overwhelmed. And I definitely did for a while.
I can imagine that with the huge influx. I mean, you think about it, most people that start a business, it's like, first they've got a big investment, which you really didn't have. So they're investing a lot of money in either in a storefront or, you know, a complex website or advertising or whatever. And you didn't have any of that. And then those people, very commonly for a new business, you're just sitting there waiting for the phone to ring, hoping for a new client. And for you, it was like you were at the bottom of the mountain and the avalanche was all the clients coming toward you. So yeah, that's a good position to be in, but you're right. You've got to have some balance, and you can't work 70 hours a week forever.
Right. So I have my days off now, and my days off are the days I'm in class. So I'm working fewer hours now, which is nice. I'm pretty consistently staying booked out for like 2 weeks, which is a really nice place to be in. It's just making sure that I can keep that going. So like learning how to advertise and learning how to like reach the population that I'm trying to reach. I'm really excited because I have a lot of repeat customers and I have a lot of clients who are recommending their friends. So that's like really, really helping. So, you know, it's kind of that balance of wanting to have some time off and being able to kind of keep that balance, but also not wanting to get too complacent and then waking up and one day I don't have enough clients to pay my rent.
Right, right. That's the scary position again. You don't want to be back in that. Let's talk about some of the actual consulting calls. Do some guys not really want advice? They just want to talk to you?
It happens occasionally. Occasionally I get someone who's super creepy. People who like to show me their penis. That's happened a few times. I just end the call. It's not really nearly as common as you would think. Most of my clients are just ordinary, normal, average guys who are frustrated because they don't understand why they can't meet someone. They don't understand why they can't have this relationship that is important. And they don't understand where they're going wrong. I really thought I would get more creepers. I really thought I would get more people who were inappropriate. And it just doesn't really happen very often. Like, I mean, I think it's happened 5 times.
Yeah, that's a very small percentage. That's good.
Yeah, for sure. I have some guys who like flirt a little bit or hit on me a little bit, but I always turn it into a learning opportunity. So like if someone hits on me, I tell them, okay, so this wasn't great, but this is how you could do it better with like a girl that you're trying to date. So I turn it into, okay, you know, let me show you how to hit on people in a better way and explain that like, this is a professional setting. This wouldn't really work. So I kind of act oblivious and focus on how to help them with their game with other women. And they usually take it pretty well, but they laugh. I try to, you know, keep this mix of being friendly and being nice and not sounding like I'm kind of standing above them.
That's really the only way to do it, because otherwise they're going to feel humiliated and rejected, and then that's a no win for anybody.
It's a super vulnerable position to be in. You're talking to a complete stranger on the internet. You're showing her your photos. You're showing her your like profile bio and like talking about things that are really hard to talk about. So the only way that it works is if they feel like they can trust me and if they feel like I don't think that I'm better than they are or that they're stupid or, you know, I get that it's hard for guys. It's just kind of unfair. Guys are at a distinct disadvantage with online dating. Add that into a lot of guys not really knowing how to appeal to women and a lot of guys not understanding how unique these dating platforms are, you're just kind of screwed. Like, it's really, really, really hard. So I definitely approach it from a practical standpoint.
Do you have an example of someone who you just weren't able to help at all?
The only times I haven't been able to help someone is whenever I've ended the call because they were inappropriate or I was not willing to help them. Like, I've had a client who was married and trying to cheat on his wife, and I just refunded him and refused to help. I just don't feel comfortable with that. I've had clients who were just egregiously hitting on me and I felt uncomfortable, or they showed me their photos and their penis was out. So I, you know, but not really. I mean, I think that there's this perception that online dating only works if you're really, really attractive. And it's true that there will always be some guy who's more attractive than you. If you're trying to match with a girl, she definitely has options of guys who are more successful than you and more attractive than you or have more money than you or whatever else. If she has 150 matches, you're never going to be the most attractive guy. But that doesn't mean that online dating won't work for you. Online dating is about charming the hell out of her. Really, really quickly, connecting with her in like a human-to-human way, and then getting her off of this website. As soon as you get her off of the website, then it's a much more even playing field. When she's on the website, girls will consistently ignore the hotter guy for the guy who understands them. They will consistently ignore the guy with more money for the guy who like listens and they can connect with. So I teach guys how to connect with women on a more personal level, how to express interest in their interests, how to understand what she's looking for, and then show her that you want to give it to her. Whereas most guys will just send the same copy and pasted message over and over and over again, and we get really sick of hearing it. So most guys can do online dating, as long as they're willing to learn a few skills.
All right. Well, I hope guys listen to this. That's some gold nuggets of advice right there. Yeah. And that's got to be the hope, too. I mean, it's like what you said. I never thought about it, but as far as the odds, when a girl's looking at 150 profiles, there's always going to be somebody that makes more money or is better looking or whatever than you are. So you've got to somehow change that so that that's more than what they're looking at. Or, like you said, get them off of that platform, get them off the computer, and that's when you can really turn on the charm, so to speak, right?
Well, you have to charm them first. So you charm them on the platform, and that's how you get them off of it. I mean, if I have to choose between talking to a super hot guy or talking to a guy who is having a conversation with me about my favorite things in the world, I'm going to talk to the guy that I like talking to. I still want to be attracted to him, but I don't have to be more attracted to him than I am to anyone else. For women, attraction isn't just physical. Like, I want to talk to someone who I'm going to have a good time with. I want to talk to someone who gets me, who wants to get me, who has the same interests as me. That's what's going to get me to go out on a date with you. Not the super hot guy who's going to talk about himself for 2 hours.
Right. Yeah. What's your goal for this business? I mean, this isn't something you want to do the rest of your life, right?
I want to be a psychologist. I want to work with children is my goal. But having this as something I can do from home for a few years until I have my PhD is definitely my kind of daydream goal. So I can work from home in my pajamas. I can do homework in between clients. I can set my own hours. I don't have to pay to send my dog to doggy daycare.
Yeah, it's like the ideal part-time job, right? Or not even part-time now, it's full-time.
It's definitely not part-time, it's definitely full-time. But I love it. I love it so much. I love connecting with people, and I love getting those messages a few days later that they have their first date in a long time. It's so exciting to me. It's so rewarding for me. I had a client really late last night, way later than I usually work, because he really wanted to be seen because he was going on his first date in a really long time. And he was so excited and so nervous, and just hearing the excitement in his voice and that he trusted me to kind of calm him down and let's focus on staying cool, staying calm. She wouldn't have agreed to go out with you if she wasn't into you. And just realizing that he went from someone in our first call who was really struggling with self-esteem and he didn't think that online dating was for him and he thought that there was no chance that this was going to happen, to someone who's super stoked for his first date in several months, was just, it's just like a high. It's this incredible experience, and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I can see there would be a lot of rewards in that. Where do you see yourself 10 years from now? I mean, what's your long-term career plan?
I hopefully will be a psychologist. I'm interested in working with underprivileged children who've experienced complex trauma.
Wait a minute. Let me stop you right there for a second, because I'm confused about, I want to ask you about that. Underprivileged children who have been through complex trauma. Is that what you said? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? What would be a situation that would be an example of that?
So complex trauma is trauma that has different sources. So there are lots of different types of trauma. So there's sexual trauma, there's physical trauma, there's educational neglect, there's a medical neglect, there is malnutrition, there is physical abuse and emotional abuse and verbal abuse. Complex trauma is whenever a child has experienced several types of trauma at once. And complex trauma is something that can really impact the brain development of a child. So whenever an adult experiences trauma, it can definitely cause a lot of problems. It can cause PTSD. It can really affect your life in a profound way. But for children, it can change how their brain develops. So it can have a much more long-lasting impact on their lives. And unfortunately, children who are living in poverty don't have a lot of access to counseling. They don't have a lot of access to professionals who are able to help them repair that damage or prevent that damage from happening before it's long lasting. So I'm really, really interested in working with kids who have had complex trauma, because I understand that if these issues go unresolved, if they never experience that healing, if they don't learn the tools that they need in order to cope, if we can't teach their parents the tools that, you know, to help their children cope, that it's going to impact them in a pretty major way for the rest of their lives, in ways that can't really be fixed. We can't change how our brain develops. So I'm very, very interested in brain development. I'm very, very interested in human behavior and trauma.
That sounds really interesting. And when you talk about long-term rewards of your work, you know, to be able to see a child that's been through something like that, and then you'll be able to see that person grow into an adult who is psychologically healthy, that's got to be a great reward too, or will be.
Indeed.
I have to ask you this. You had mentioned, before we hit the record button here, you had mentioned that you have been approached to be on other podcasts or media shows, TV shows, radio shows, or whatever, mm-hmm. but yet you have rejected most of them. This is the first one you've appeared on. What was mm-hmm. What was your reasoning behind that?
It was very flattering to be asked to do interviews for like a documentary with Netflix or the producer of The Bachelorette. It was very flattering. It was just so much. And it's a huge, huge, like, long-term commitment. If my face is on Netflix, if I am advertising myself to the world that this is what I do, then that means I have to be kind of committed to it long-term. And I'm worried about someone Googling my name and finding dating advice instead of the fact that, like, I'm really interested in complex trauma. I really enjoy this work, but it's not something I want to do forever. So if I were to agree to do something that's pretty global, like Netflix, then it's making a commitment that this is something I want to do forever, or at least something that I'm comfortable being associated with forever. And it's only been 2 months. I'm definitely like learning as I'm going. I'm still in the stage where I'm equal parts terrified and excited. I'm reading like business books until I fall asleep at night. And I'm definitely not at a point where I'm prepared to make that big of a commitment.
I can see those things as being a whole different scope, or, you know, what they would be talking about. For this show, basically, I'm just fascinated with the way you went from literally having nothing and about to be to lose your apartment and everything, and to turn that around so quickly. That's what I find to be amazing about this whole story.
Yeah. And I mean, I researched you as well. Like, I listened to your podcast, and you seem like a really decent human being. It didn't seem predatory in any way. And you seem like someone that I would enjoy talking with. So that's really, and it's a podcast. It's not going to show up on Netflix. I mean, I'm sure that we know if you wanted it to. I'm not trying to say that you aren't Netflix worthy.
No, I understand. I don't have any anticipation to be on Netflix. Not with this show anyway. We'll see.
So it was lower risk for me, and you seem like a genuinely good person. So that made me feel a lot more comfortable.
That's good. That's a great compliment. Thank you very much. Well, Chloe, it's been great talking with you. I love seeing what you've done, what you've created virtually out of nothing. And it's going to be fun to see where this goes.
Yeah, me too. I'm very excited to see where this goes. Thank you so much for talking with me. It's been great.
Thanks for listening. My goal for each episode is to bring you people and stories that you just won't find on other podcasts. If you'd like to discuss this episode or previous episodes with other listeners, you can do that at our private Facebook group at whatwasthatlike.com/Facebook. I hope to see you in there. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do that at whatwasthatlike.com/support. And I'll see you in 2 weeks, where we'll once again be asking the question, what was that like?